This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We all love to treat ourselves every now and then, right? Like go out and buy a nice coffee, maybe get a little extra legroom on the plane. Then why are we always settling for doctors? Your health is the most important thing. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You know how I feel about making phone calls, and that is why I discovered ZocDoc many years ago before I even had a podcast. And so I'm thrilled. This feels very full circle. I use ZocDoc all the time in LA. I still use them here in Cincinnati. It's just such a cool service to be able to put in your insurance and find a doctor for whatever your ailment might be. I actually found an ENT doctor once when I had this sinus infection, probably TMI. But anyway, I love ZocDoc. I've loved it for years. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's how easy it is. Sometimes they even have same day appointments. I know I've gotten some in the past. Go to ZocDoc.com/drink and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/drink. ZocDoc.com/drink. Hey, Em.
Hello.
Oh my God, it feels like I don't know how to start this because it's been a long time.
It has been a very long time. I feel like we haven't... Have we recorded an episode since Nashville?
No.
Since before Nashville?
Nope.
Not since before Nashville. Wow.
Nope.
So it's been a while.
Yeah, we missed you guys. Hi, everybody.
Sup. I'm waiting for them to reply.
But, me too. I was hoping they would add...
And in spirit, they all...
I was hoping they'd add more, like...
When this airs, I'm going to, like... My ears are going to be ringing, like, oh, what's going on? There'll be hundreds of people.
Going, like, hello.
Fresh. And they'll still be going, fuck you, Em, for the last episode.
Oh, that went poorly. I take no credit for this.
Can you... Okay. So many of you wrote in about... I'm not even going to say the name, but the doll
PTD.
In the last episode. And...
The doll that should not
some people projectile vomited listening to my show. Some people got nosebleeds.
Some people had to pull the car over and vomit.
Some people said that they felt like they were having a heart attack. I warned you.
Someone had to go to urgent care.
Don't keep crying to me saying that I did this. You guys listened. I told you not to.
And well, then they blame me because I brought it up before your story. And I was like, I didn't know.
And apparently my boss, Renee, intentionally did not listen to the episode after my warning. She was like, nah, I'm good.
She's like, I'm out of vacation days. I don't need this.
So I apologize to everyone who sacrificed a little bit of themselves that day.
A little bit of their well-being.
But yeah, at least, you know, at least my stories are, you know, evoke
some like illness in people. Also, some people had sleep paralysis. I was like,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, we know you did, but you got to talk about it on air. They just got to experience it and then tweet about it angrily.
But also, I will say in a weird way, which I just told Christine and Eva, is that I felt very, very warm in like that reaction that I got. At least I know a lot of people are listening to the show, so I did kind of feel
I mean, not
happy
anymore. They all deleted it after that.
That's true. They probably aren't ever going to be a part of this again.
Yeah, that was crazy, though. Within, like, minutes of us posting the episode, tweets started coming in. We were like,
people feeling sick.
And...
So anyway, hopefully at least a few people that were skeptics are now, you know, Team Ghost.
Team Ghost.
And we're sorry.
We're sorry.
I wanted to address it before we got... another slew of emails and poor Eva had to be like, everyone's sick.
We've killed the mass population. Yeah, that being said, we were in Nashville, which is why we released a live episode last week. And Nashville was great. It was fun. It was short-lived, yeah. But we had a good time. Ate some barbecue, some hot chicken.
It was a good time on my end.
We met a lot of you guys, which was really fun.
Eva and Christine had strawberry moonshine twice.
Correct. We went back to the bar for more.
I didn't have any. I just watched them.
That's true. You just took boomerangs of us.
Yes. No, I had a great time.
It was fun. It was like really fast.
Yeah, we hope to be back, but currently nothing on
and
that.
Now that we have more tour dates planned in the future that I guess we haven't fully announced yet, so stay tuned. And I know, by the way, that I said, oh, this Monday. Turns out I was wrong, and they're releasing the dates. The venue I was talking about is releasing them, like, incrementally. So I apologize that I kind of, like, teased it.
Jumped the gun.
Yeah. So those are coming.
As soon as we can tell you, we will. Don't, yes. It's not like it's not a fun game for us
to
torture you.
No, we don't like
you.
It at all. We're harassing Andrew every day. Like, when do we get to announce it? And there are, I'm just going to say, a lot of cities coming up. Can I say that?
You can say a lot of cities, yeah.
There's like quite a few cities coming up that people have been asking for.
One that everyone needs to know about is the Hollywood Improv September 23rd.
That's true. That's the next show.
That needs to, you guys need to buy some tickets.
Fill that shit up, man.
Yes, please, please, please and come see us. That's in a month.
And our last Hollywood shows have been so fucking fun.
Yes.
That I feel like...
it's kind of becoming our home venue.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast.
So if you guys can show the venue love a little more, that way, yeah, like as much as you have, but just show up. It would be really awkward if we went on a stage and like no one was there.
They're like, your first two shows were fine. What happened this time?
It's like, oh, they ran out.
And made them all sick with Peggy the doll. Oops.
Whoops. Also, real quick, next Sunday, when after this records, if you're listening to this, the following Sunday, we have our Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm. Patreon Facebook Live.
Yes, Patreon.
Because we always say that and then we're like, and then a lot of people can't join.
And by like, both of us, Christine means just me when I...
Oh.
Whoops.
Well, it's okay.
Okay, so 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Facebook Live for Patreon. Please come ready with questions and...
yeah.
Fun things to talk about. We'll probably be in Christine's pool again.
No, that went poorly. I flashed everyone last time.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now everyone's going to be like, I was going to say, I'll join. Then I was like, no, they're all going to be like, please don't. I don't want to be a part of this.
Okay. So then we won't be in a pool. We'll just be sitting in a hot house.
Yes. A hot house.
A hot house.
I got a fan for us.
Also, do you have news?
Yes.
You want to tell them?
I'm sweating a lot.
And that's the news.
Oh, yeah, surprise.
Except not surprised at all.
I mean, I guess if you're on my Instagram, which not all of you are, but if you are, you saw what happened and everyone's like, what's going on? But are we announcing yours too?
Yes.
I guess you said it on Twitter. Yes. Okay, so Em and I, so you go.
So on my Twitter and on probably also on my Instagram by the time this comes out, but if you follow us on social media at all, then you have seen that in the last week, Christine and I have both left our day jobs. And that was something that we have been anticipating would happen eventually. We just didn't know when that was going to happen. But, you know, Andrew has been doing a great job finding places that want us to perform. And it led to...
a lot of them are far, far away and involve travel.
Yes. So due to scheduling conflicts, we decided it is best... for the show that we take this on full time. So
you guys, we're doing this like as a real job.
We are actual podcast producers.
We were talking about the hug emoji that we don't know if it's a hug or a excited wave, and Eva's doing it.
So actually, I didn't know that Christine was also going to be leaving her job.
Oh, guess what? I didn't either.
I texted Christine and said, hey, I quit my job. And then she said, oh, hey, my last day is Thursday. And I was like,
it was such a frantic, like, because on Monday, long story, it's been a long, whatever, stressful week, and it doesn't matter, but on Tuesday, I went into work, and I was like, I need to talk to my boss about this now, and then after we talked, I was like, Thursday's my last day, and I was like, I didn't even tell Em and Eva about this, I didn't tell anybody, I just, like, I told Blaze afterward, he was like, what happened? We were talking an hour ago, but I just was like, I need to talk to my boss about this, because the podcast has gotten to the point where it, like, deserves... mm-hmm. Something deserves my full attention. I didn't feel like I was giving either one my full attention. And the Nickelodeon job, it was like a year-long program, was meant to end in like 2 months anyway. And as much as it was like, oh, it's only 2 months left, like I just knew I needed to
cut the cord
and like focus on the podcast. So that's why I left very abruptly. And I felt like I like stepped right on your toes because you were like, oh, I just talked to my boss. And I was like, yeah, me too. And you're like, wait, what?
I was like,
this was my day.
I was like, I'm here to tell you some news. And you're like, I have news too. You're not that special. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
But it was Gemini. It was just very weird timing that like both of us quit within the same 24 hours.
I felt like such an ass, but I like forgot because I was so focused on like, yeah. So anyway, point being, it was a tough decision for both of us. We talked about this and we were like, we were both in our dream jobs.
Yeah.
No,
like truly,
ifs, ands, or buts about it.
I came to LA to work in props and to work in the art department. And I literally have been working for the last 2.5 years in the most famous prop house, like notoriously
like making Marvel props,
the world's biggest, most known prop house. Like I like hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit. Now I have to like,
right.
Like not, oh, not, oh shit. In like the worst way. Cause also something great's coming
it's
out.
It's a bittersweet thing.
Yeah. It's like, I never saw myself leaving this job.
Same.
But now I am.
I know. And I like applied to the NIC program for years and I finally got in. And I was like, my dream is to write kids TV. This is like the one place in the world I could just be forever. And I'm like, I'm leaving early.
The dream is when we combine all of our goals and then you write a children's show that gets props from ISS and it's about ghosts.
And Gio's starring in it.
And Gio stars
okay,
in it.
Okay, great. Got it. Okay. That's the next big thing.
You guys ready?
Ready?
It's coming out.
That's 2024.
I'm also pushing Christine on a reboot of Wishbone starring Gio. So let's all get that going where I like think, he travels to different haunted castles.
Yes. That was that Eva's idea or was that your idea?
That one was my idea. That one was Eva's yours. Got quite a genius
Sorry.
One.
I just want to make sure. I didn't remember whose was whose.
No, you're good.
The Wishbone one, yeah. That was brilliant because I can't believe there has not been a Wishbone reboot. Yes. Anyway, sorry. So, guys, that's why we drink this week. At least that's why I drink.
Yeah. We went off on quite a tangent, but it was worth the discussion.
We just need to tell you guys that we're doing this for us, but also for you. And we want to make sure that we put 100% of ourselves into the podcast. We have a lot of really cool stuff coming up that we want to be like full on ready for, have 100% of our energy, especially when it comes to traveling and all that good stuff. So.
Yeah. I've noticed a trend where every time I travel, I get sick and then I have to go to my day job. So I was like, at least I won't be getting sick anymore. Maybe fingers crossed.
Yeah. So. Oh, God.
Anyway.
So here we are. We're back on the ghost track.
back on track. Yes.
You know, that track.
Except we're not talking about ghosts this time around.
What?
Except a little bit. We're talking about it a little bit at the end. This is what would you say? A mystery.
You sound like my dad. He does that. Whoa, you say.
Whoa, Christine, you're a disappointment. Whoa. Sorry, I'm projecting. That's just my mom. So anyway.
Okay. My dad doesn't listen this far in anyway.
Oh, my dad doesn't know what a podcast is still. So
it's on the cloud.
Yeah, it's somewhere.
Mr. Schultz.
He literally recently said, how come I don't ever get invited to the live shows? And I was like, have you listened to a single episode like where we talk about them all the time? And he's like, well, no. And I'm like, well, you've got about almost 100 free available ones right now that you could listen to and like prove that you should come to the live show.
Got plenty of time.
And he's like, well, and I was like, okay, well,
see, maybe it's a dad noise.
Yeah. Dads are really good at making that sound. Love as am it. I. So I don't know if that's, you know,
it's a good
telling
thing.
The future. Or...
Funkle M.
I'm going to be such a cool Funkle
on
for
board.
The rest of my life.
On board.
Oh, anyway, back to this mystery.
Okay, I love a good mystery. Talk about Wishbone, man.
Oh,
let's go. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. That is so nice. So I received this beautiful lilac shrub and Leona and I planted it together and we did find a creepy like saint statue while we were digging up the yard. But that aside, it was really a wonderful experience. The funniest part is my neighbor, Anne, hi Anne, walked past me the other day and said, oh, I saw your lilac bush that you mentioned on the podcast. And I thought, wow, advertising really works, folks. I talked about that lilac shrub. She saw it in my yard. And I said, Leona and I worked very hard to plant that. And I also found a creepy saint while I dug it up. But anyway, the point being, it looks professional. It looks like a landscaper put it there and a toddler and I actually put it there. So I feel like we've fooled everyone. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code DRINK at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code DRINK at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code DRINK. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with brand new releases and next listen recommendations. There's a story for every listener. From classic favorites to exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors. Elevate your heart rate with a pulse-pounding collection of thrillers you can't hear anywhere else, all brought to life with Premiere Audio. From eerie soundscapes to dynamic voice performances, you're guaranteed to be on the edge of your seat. With female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks, Audible has your thrill needs covered. Plus, with an Audible membership, get access to thousands of titles and the chance to discover new favorites and formats, like the exclusive Words and Music series or a podcast. And Audible members can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. I have to tell you about a thriller I recently listened to on Audible. It's called None of This Is True, and it is actually about a true crime podcaster. And I was surprised how much I got into it. It has, speaking of like immersive sound, it was such a good audiobook. I actually recommended it for one of the recent And That's Why We Drink newsletters. I always go to Audible for my thriller fix. New Audible members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/drink or text drink to 500-500. That's audible.com/drink or text drink to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
Oh, I just, I'm sorry. I was thinking about Geo.
We know what you were thinking about. Okay. This is not a surprise.
Woo, here we go. All okay. Right. So this is from Scotland.
Oh, Scotland.
It's a place that I would love to visit one day.
I would also love to visit Scotland.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge to you guys that
Andrew?
I want to go there.
Andrew,
are you listening? Send us to Scotland. No, before we get a bunch of emails, we do not have plans to go to Scotland.
So I wish.
Just trying to save Eva's email retention there. Okay. Yes, this, and I know I'm probably going to butcher it. Scotland has a wild array of sounds that get put into names and words.
I mean, apparently I can't say Glasgow correctly, so.
We never will.
You'll be fine.
Here's Flannan Isles Lighthouse. Maybe they say Flannan. Flannan?
A Flannan. Oh. Erase that, please.
Eva, don't.
I'm sorry.
It's okay for people who just want to know. Flannan. Flannan?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I mean, in the most American accent possible, it's Flannan.
Sure.
The Flannan Isles Lighthouse. I need you to sound. There it is. Okay. So
people are always like, Christine Gass, and I'm like, it's because M stares at me until I make a reaction.
I'm like, can you just acknowledge me?
Oh yeah, like I don't already.
Okay. Here we go. Is everyone ready for a good mystery?
Hold on.
I'm pretending we're at a live show where everyone's like, yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to do that for you.
Instead, she's going to pour a wine. Okay. Flannan Isles Lighthouse.
Okay.
Scotland, as I said. The Flannan Isles are seven rocky islands all next to each other. They are also sometimes known as the Seven Hunters. Mm. The isles, each one is an individual hunter.
Sure.
And the biggest one is known as, I'm going to mess this up. Eileen Moore.
Oh my god, couldn't you Google it?
Probably. It's either Aileen Moore.
So it looks like to me.
Well, apparently it's translated to Big Isle, so that's what we're gonna call it.
Big Isle, I can say that. Sounds like a Walmart, a Big Isle.
And it's called Big Isle because it's the biggest of the seven.
Got it.
20 miles away is the next island, the next island closest to it, called the Isle of Lewis.
Okay.
Which appears later in the story. And the first and most populous period of this island was when Saint Flannan himself and his followers of the Celtic Church lived there on the Seven Islands. And after the decline of the Celtic Church, they left, and the island got a reputation as being very unlucky and being haunted by spirits, giant birds, and little men. Little men, not little people, like... apparently
like
men who are small. I don't know what that means.
Like what's the story?
Gulliver's Travels.
Mm-hmm. Like the little guys that tied him down. But big birds, you know, I don't like a big bird,
little men,
you know. So, I don't like a bird
and spirits also.
Oh right, those two.
So it was seen, the all of Flannan Isles was seen as a mystical land with a very dark aura surrounding it that anyone passing the island by ship could sense. They knew that something really dark was there. Those who worked on the island, so basically fishermen and shepherds, they called it the other country.
Ooh.
And they believed that the island had spirits, fairies, elves, and giant birds, which supposedly represented St. Flannan's flock.
Oh, the birds did?
Yeah, apparently okay. People saw these massive, massive black birds, and then they just kind of decided, oh, that's like the ghosts of St. Flannan's churchgoers.
Okay.
So, like I said, sheepherders and fishermen were mainly the people who went to the island, and to protect themselves from these magical creatures, they had special rituals that they did in special dialects to keep themselves safe while they were on the island, because they believed that these things would attach themselves to them.
Can I say one thing? I'm really sorry, but I can't get it out of my head. So you said shepherds, right?
Uh-huh.
And then later you said sheep herders, and then it just clicked in my head that shepherd is like a sheep herder.
Like it's combined?
It
just happened in your head now?
Yeah.
That's like I watched history happen. You know what I recently realized?
What?
And by recently I mean yesterday. That I have my dad's eyes.
Oh!
I mean, since we're realizing things.
Oh, that's nice. Well, or is it nice?
Well, I don't know. I always thought that I had my grandma's eyes. Because at first glance, I have my grandma's eyes. That are now also my maternal grandma, not my father's.
Yeah.
And then I, like, made some expression and I was like, that looks like my dad. And then I, like, intentionally made more expressions that I thought looked like my dad. And I was like, oh, my God, I have my dad's eyes.
I'm my dad.
It's because I don't have his eye color or anything. So it fools everyone. But I actually have, like, his eyelids and, like, my eyes.
Surrounding.
The mannerisms of my eyes are the same.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, I just learned that shepherd was sheep herder.
Eva, did you learn anything today?
I'm still thinking about how I'm too Christian not to have known that. Like, I was raised too Christian.
I just can't believe I didn't know that. I mean, I literally grew up in Catholic school where, like, we were considered the sheep of the flock.
Yeah.
And I just never...
Sheep, herd, shepherd.
And my last name means shepherd. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding, you guys. This is not good for me. This is a really bad thing for my image.
And you learned it at 27.
As a good Catholic. It's bad. Okay, sorry.
At least you didn't learn it at 28.
You know what? You're right. That's my saving grace.
There it is.
Got it.
If you learn it before 30, then you learned it young enough.
That's what I always say.
I mean, that's got to be somewhere in the Bible.
We're going to be screwed at age 30 because we're going to not know much at all.
I don't know how to even say Flannan Isles.
Oh, God forbid.
Oh, my God. Okay, so anyway, yeah. So she birds and fishermen on the island protected themselves from magical creatures with special rituals and special dialects. And many believe that those who did not follow the rules of the original inhabitants of the island's, quote, little pilgrims, which was another phrase I heard.
Oh, my.
Little men or little pilgrims. Same thing, different words, apparently.
Okay.
I just liked the thought of little pilgrims.
I like it, too. It sounds like a...
It really paints a picture.
Like Little Women, but like a spinoff.
Yeah. I was thinking more like in first grade, we had this play that anyone that went to school with me knows exactly what I'm talking about. But it was called Thank You Indians, Thank You Pilgrims. And half of the class were Indians. Half the class were... Well, okay. This was Virginia in the 90s. Let's just remember that too.
I just know already how bad it was.
Anyway, I was a pilgrim. Things didn't work
out
for the Indians.
But
I mean, like in this play, like everyone got along and like...
Of course you shared a meal. It was all right. Beautiful.
Yeah. And everyone like hugged and then America became great. Something
you know
like
the
that.
Real truth of American history
mm-hmm.
that we teach on this podcast
right yeah so
children are you listening
anyway so I think of little pilgrims I think of like me and Deirdre dressed as pilgrims so anyway
mm-hmm.
If you didn't follow the rules of the little pilgrims you would never return to your home
it also apparently... sounds like that play you did just so scary
I'm laughing out of fear so some of the rules that you needed to follow included removing your hat and upper clothing, which is not how the play went, by the way.
Oh, okay. Take it back.
And turning in a clockwise direction when arriving to the shore.
So you just took off you flashed everyone and started spinning in circles.
Sounds like Christine in Vegas.
Yeah. I was going to say, this doesn't sound half bad, but okay, let's keep going.
So the stories, whatever like potentially could happen if you like broke these rules, the stories were scary enough for the people that worked there that they refused to be there after sunset and they would always leave while it was still daylight out. And by 1989, ships were having such a tough time traveling in the waters nearby and they could not navigate that there ended up being several shipwrecks. And so the plan at that point was they built a 74-foot lighthouse to help people see.
Right.
So Eileen Moore...
Aline.
Big Isle. I forgot that's what we're calling it. Big Isle Lighthouse was created at Okay. In comes the lighthouse of my story.
Correct.
So the lighthouse was created at the tallest point on the largest island. And since 1971, that was when the lighthouse became automated. And now employees aren't actually needed there. But so since 1971, there are no permanent residents that live on the islands. But before the 70s, there was no wireless communication. And the lighthouse keepers could only make contact with others on a good day. when the weather was like well enough to work with,
right? Like clear
with, balls on posts next to the lighthouse using semaphore signals.
Yeah.
Like the double flag signs.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So they had balls that would move so you could, and then they would light up so you could actually like,
oh my gosh,
see the signal. So that's how they had, that's what they had to do.
That's crazy.
The lighthouse keepers that lived there would work in a rotation where there were shifts of 3 men at a time, and there was a fourth one who always had 2 weeks off, and then you would switch. And in December 1900, literally not even a year after this lighthouse is built, 3 men who were working there, their names were James, Donald, although Donald's name is also sometimes William, apparently.
Same difference.
I think like maybe his name is like William Donald or Donald William or something. Sure. So I don't know if it's Donald or William, but most notes said Donald. But then sometimes I would be doing notes and all of a sudden William would show up and I was like, who the fuck is William?
Who the fuck is William?
So anyway, I just stuck with Donald. So James was 43, Donald was 40, and Thomas was 28.
Oh.
And they were the 3 men that were manning the lighthouse during the story.
Got it.
In 1900. So there was a ship called the Fair Wind and there was another ship called the Archer. And they both passed by the lighthouse on December 15th. And they noticed that the lighthouse's lamp was not shining.
Oh, no.
Which is, like, unheard of, especially with three light keepers, like, all there. The light should have definitely been on.
4 if you count William. Sorry.
Jesus.
I can't stop myself.
And so, anyway, that was on December 15th, and both ships did not see a light shining. So the captain on the Archer sent a message to headquarters, lighthouse headquarters, and found out later that, quote, headquarters had other pressing matters and failed to notify the lighthouse board.
Oh, no.
So no message got sent anywhere that, like, this light was not on. Also from the Isle of Lewis, the one that's 20 miles away but the closest island to it, one guy named Roderick, he was working from the Isle of Lewis, and his job was to check on the light, I guess, every hour or so. He was just have to make sure that the lighthouse looked from far away like it was doing well. And he also did not notice that the light was out. And this could have been like, maybe there was like weather that like, maybe he couldn't see the lights. Who knows?
Maybe he was just like, yeah I see it.
Yeah. Or maybe like he was negligent.
Playing solitaire.
So, the 2 week shift was going, how like there's a 2 week shift and then they rotate.
Sure.
So the 2 week, shift was going to end on December 20th. And you don't have to remember all the days. I'm going to help everyone. Because I keep,
thank God, Em. Well, I mean, memorizing them.
So okay, the 2 week shift was going to end on December 20th, but bad weather showed up and delayed the fourth light keeper named Joseph. It kept Joseph from being able to take his shift until the 26th. So for a week.
Oh wow!
Basically, he was supposed to get out there and he couldn't.
For a whole week, he got
He got like an extra whole week off.
That's fucking nice.
Must be nice, Joseph. So,
say the people who just quit their jobs.
So December 26th, this is when Joseph is now going to finally like take his post. And on the ship that is taking him, the ship arrives at the lighthouse to drop off Joseph for a shift. And the lighthouse is supposed to fly like a relief flag to say like, hey, we see that you're here. And like let the ship know that the keepers saw them approaching, but the flag was not flying.
Oh, it's not good.
Captain Harvey, who was the one driving the ship, driving the fucking ship, accelerating. Anyway, he was the one in charge of the ship that was taking Joseph. So Joseph was like, okay, where's the flag? And Captain Harvey set off a siren, blew a whistle, and shot a flare into the sky to get the lighthouse's attention. And there was no response.
Oh, no.
So Captain Harvey tells Joseph to go up there by himself and investigate.
He's like, I did all I can do.
And then he reverses and speeds down the side. No, I'm using another car reference. Okay.
He pulls a wheelie and just takes off. Okay.
You can hear the gas guzzling away. So Joseph, he actually goes up to the lighthouse. He goes inside.
Oh, God, I'm scared.
And realizes that the lighthouse is freezing from the inside. No fire in the chimney had been lit. The beds were unused.
Oh, my God.
And the clocks had stopped.
What?
Joseph also checks the light of the lighthouse to make sure that it's actually working, and it was. So it was intentionally not turned on.
Oh, no.
He reported that everything within the lighthouse was in, quote, proper order, including, he found, the dishes and the kitchen had been entirely cleaned, like all the way down to the utensils had been put away. The beds looked like they were also in proper order, but one was kind of messed up,
mm-hmm.
like unmade. One chair was upside down.
Oh.
And a plate of meat and potatoes sat untouched on the table, which is a sin to me, by the way.
Something is very wrong here.
If you ever go into my house and there's steak and potatoes sitting on the table, not touched,
there's like a Starbucks and a steak.
If there's a Starbucks, a steak, and My Strange Addiction is on pause, something is wrong if I'm not there.
Em has been abducted. There's no other explanation.
So,
My Strange Addiction, our favorite show.
Our favorite. Okay, so My Strange Addiction is steak. So, anyway, there was a plate of meat and potatoes that sat untouched as if it was about to be eaten.
Oh, that's creepy.
Next to the chair that was upside
flipped.
Down.
Flipped?
Yeah. So Joseph runs back to shore and tells the captain that he could not find the lightkeepers anywhere. And so Captain Harvey orders a search and sends a telegraph to the mainland. And he also sends it to headquarters and says, quote, "A dreadful accident has happened at Flannan's. The three keepers," and then he uses their last names.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say... Just in case you're like, who the fuck are these people? Okay. The three keepers, Ducat, Marshall, and the occasional.
What? That's his last name?
No, like they just fucking forgot his name. Or like he wasn't important enough. They were just like, Ducat, Marshall, and the occasional.
Is that Donald / William?
It is.
No! So like, no
one knows his first name and no one cares about his last name.
Why are they so mean to him? Donald William.
So anyway.
So sad.
So, a dreadful accident has happened at Flannan's. The three keepers, Ducat, Marshall, and the occasional,
woof,
have disappeared from the island. On our arrival there this afternoon, no sign of life was to be seen on the island. And also, like, the place is clean and, in quote, proper order. Like, there's no blood anywhere. It doesn't look like there was totally,
and three,
like...
three people?
Yeah. So, three volunteers on the ship offer to stay with Joseph and look around, and they found storm damage on the landing on one side. They said that there were iron railings that had been twisted and completely ripped out of concrete.
Mm-mm.
And there was a box of mooring ropes that had vanished despite being anchored down. They also noticed that a life buoy was missing, and they determined that the storm had ripped it off of the rope, even though it was 110 feet above sea level.
Oh my God.
So realistically, there's no way that like the sea did that, but that's what they determined. Lamps were oil lamps were cleaned and refilled, ready for nighttime.
Oh my God.
And there was also a stone weighing over a ton that had been moved 100 feet above the island, like by itself.
What?
Also, two of the men's coats were missing, but one remained on the coat rack by the door.
Oh.
So Robert, who is the superintendent of the lighthouse, he confirmed all of this from Joseph's reports. And Captain Harvey believes that the men went missing on the 20th of December based on three things. So he thinks, and also remember on the 15th, that was when the light was already out. Two different ships report that the light was out 5 days before Captain Harvey thinks they went missing.
Right.
So Captain Harvey says that they went missing on the 20th of December based on the fact that the clocks had stopped at that time.
Oh, shit. That's creepy.
A storm took place on that date. And so like maybe like they got washed away at sea or something. So here's the weird part. And the lighthouse logbook had been completed up until the date of December 15th, which is when the lighthouse light was no longer shining. So here are the log entries from the couple days before the light went out.
I already have chills. Okay.
So December 12th. And also, I want to give you guys some, like, so this logbook is supposed to be very... basic information. It's like not a personal diary, like,
right? Okay.
It's like very professional.
Just like this just happened, like, today.
Yeah.
Okay.
So on December 12th, it says, "Sea lashed to fury, never seen such a storm in 20 years. Everything shipshape, Ducat irritable." So they're already like kind of gossiping about
each
other.
Sounds like our podcast diary.
So
irritable,
and then
Christine out of wine.
Can confirm. So later.
It's just funny.
Honestly, it's just funny. So, also someone wrote to my Twitter and was like, just so you know, like, that voice is really, like, annoying and I hate it. And I was like, I'm sorry, do you think I do that?
Oh!
I was like, do you think that voice is supposed to not be annoying? Like, I'm confused. Like, that's the fucking point.
The point is that we do it at you now because you're the one being annoying.
And I mean, like, I'm not mad that you said that. I just think it's funny.
We'll just talk about it later.
It's just funny that you tweeted that to me and now I'm doing this. So how does it feel? It's just funny. It's just funny. Anyway. So
anyway.
So okay, so far we've heard Dukat is irritable.
Sure.
That same day at noon, another entry says storm still raging, wind steady, cannot go out, ship passed sounding foghorn, Dukat quiet, MacArthur crying.
Oh, is MacArthur the...
Donald's, the occasional.
He's the occasional. What is the occasion? Okay.
Like the other, like, one that just kind of shows up sometimes.
Who's there?
Can you imagine if you're the employee one of four and, like, one of you, like, is just not important enough?
I mean, as a PA, as a past PA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
So he's the PA of the lighthouse.
And I don't mean physician assistant for all of you medical people.
No, production assistant.
Yes.
So, okay, so one's quiet, one's irritable, one's crying. December 13th, storm continued through the night, wind shifted west by north, Dukat quiet, MacArthur praying.
Oh, MacArthur's struggling, man.
He's really, like, not having a good day.
Poor guy.
Then, at noon on the same day, gray daylight, me, Dukat, and MacArthur all praying. Then
gray daylight? Okay. Like then, storm?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then December 14th, nothing. And then December 15th, storm ended, sea calm, God is over all. So those are some of, like, I mean, it's kind of basic. It's, like, not as juicy as I wanted it to be. I wanted some, like, real dirt. But
I mean, that really creeps me out, the praying and then silence and then God rules all or whatever.
So a lot of people think that even though this is evidence that, like, people have used this to figure out where they went, a lot of people think that these entries are a hoax because for several reasons. Reason one, the keepers wouldn't just skip entries at their job for an entire day.
So they were supposed to post every day.
Yeah.
Or write every day. Okay.
And so they didn't do anything on the 14th. The second reason is this is the wild part. So they're, like, crying and praying, presumably about this storm that's just so horrible. There were no weather reports reporting storms in the area on the 12th, 13th, or 14th of December.
What?
So weather reports were calm and that storms that did hit the island didn't hit until December 17th after they were already missing. So they were experiencing some storm that didn't happen.
What the fuck? Okay.
Reason three is that the occasional MacArthur was a seasoned mariner and a tough, tough man, supposedly. So why was he crying about a storm when his literal job is he works in a lighthouse?
And he's probably seen a storm or two in his life.
Many.
Right.
And reason four is that this was, like I said, a professional official logbook. So the entries should have not had, like, any private feelings being recorded. And reason five, Dukat was Marshall's superior. And so Marshall was the one writing all of this. So Marshall was writing about his boss being irritable when his boss could, like, just go look
was
at
like,
that.
I'm the boss of this guest book. What is it called?
A logbook.
I just bought our wedding guest book. So
guest book, lighthouse, a little dirty.
I expect in my wedding guest book that you write, like, we are all praying. We're silent.
Blaze is crying.
Day three, we're all silent.
God never, is over all.
Never seen such a storm.
The occasional Eva. So, okay. And then the sixth reason is Dukat was known to be a good-natured guy who never got irritable. So that would be very out of character for him. And if they're recording all their feelings, Weird. That would have been brought up a little more. So a lot of people just think it doesn't really make sense. And nobody ever actually found their bodies. So, like, to this day, no one's ever found their bodies. And so for a long time, people thought, okay, well, the three of them just went missing and that's that. But in 1912, 12 years after this happened, a poet named Wilfred Wilson Gibson, he wrote a poem called Flannan Isle. And this is just an excerpt. It's a long ass poem.
I want you to read me the whole poem.
Well, I'm not gonna. So this is just the just a little tidbit. And also this is separate chunks, but I'm just putting them together because I'm catering
Tell
this to myself.
Tell the story, okay.
Okay. So here's some of this poem.
You've never read me a poem before.
I'm used to like Dr. Seuss style, so I don't know.
Oh my god. Okay.
Like, and some of it rhymes, but some of it doesn't, so it fucking throws me. Okay.
Because you combined different pieces of the poem. Okay, let's not talk about it. Go on.
No, like, I kept the same chunks.
Okay. I thought you just took random lines and, like,
actually just,
them.
Like, Frankensteined my own poem.
You actually wrote your own poem and they're just saying that it's... Okay, yes, got yes. it, got it, got it.
That was my phone. Sorry.
Do you need it?
No, it just fell on the ground. This Eva is just... Truly,
what's her name? The Unforgettable.
Oh,
what's
her name? The Occasional.
Oh, the Unforgettable is nicer.
Is it?
Yeah, because she's unforgettable.
Oh, right. I was thinking Forgettable, and I was like, what? Anyway, thank you, Occasional, for my phone. Okay,
that's so mean.
This is the poem. Through three men dwell. Oh nope, I already fucked up. Though.
Oh my god, beautiful. Oh my god. Oh, that was so romantic.
I think I should write a poem where every other line is. I already fucked up.
You
can't tell if it's part of the poem or not. Okay.
Yes, I agree.
Though three men dwell on Flannan Isle to keep the lamp alight as we steer under the lee, we caught no glimmer through the night. A passing ship at dawn had brought the news, and quickly we set sail to find out what strange thing might all the keepers of the deep sea light. Although we hunted high and low and hunted everywhere, of the three men's fate we found no trace of any kind in any place, but a door ajar and an untouched meal and an overtoppled chair. We seemed to stand for an endless while, though still no word was said, three men alive on Flannan Isle, who we thought of three men dead. So...
What the fuck?
It's just like, it was like a long ass poem about this whole mystery that happened 12 years ago. And only then, after this poem was published, did the story resurface as a popular mystery.
Okay.
So it kind of got forgotten. And then all of a sudden it was like popularized into this like eerie intrigue.
Right.
And it actually became really popular in media where a section of the poem was actually quoted in a 1977 episode of Doctor Who.
Really?
There was a song written by the band Genesis called The Mystery of Flannan Isle Lighthouse.
Oh.
There's an opera called The Lighthouse. And there's a movie starring Gerard Butler called The Keepers.
Oh.
All have to do with this mystery. So here's some of the theories about what actually happened.
Okay.
So one of the theories is that they were still alive and well. But this isn't a theory, actually. This is a fucking fact. So they were still alive and well on December 7th. Because the superintendent came to do a routine check of the lighthouse and spoke to all of them, and they were totally fine and seemed to be in their right mind.
Okay.
So this was about a week before the light went out. that was the last time that the mainland actually saw the lighthouse until a couple days later due to heavy mist, and then not again until several weeks after they'd already disappeared.
Okay.
So there was a lot of time where this lighthouse was being, like, covered by mist.
Right.
The lighthouse is also monitored from the mainland, so in case of an emergency, the men can signal for help.
Okay.
And since the lighthouse was not actually seen until December 29th, their signal, if they even showed one, never got seen.
Oh, God.
The reports from the passing ships on the 15th, when both ships saw that the light was out, they both say that the light had not been lit, but the men... Basically, that means that the men must have disappeared sometime between the last... logbook entry on the 15th where they said God is over all and the storm's done, and that night when the two ships saw that the light was out. So it had to happen in that time frame on that day.
Right,
which in that time of the year in that area, basically the only time that it would have worked out is around 4 p.m. on the 15th.
Okay.
And so some think that the men simply just chose to flee the area, like just decided just all up and leave, like just peaced out and just like made new lives for themselves.
Left their meat and potatoes
and their families.
Yeah, what the fuck.
Two of them were married with kids, so that's an unlikely theory.
Sure.
That two of them just,
it's like logical until you really
realize, like, oh, they had,
think about the,
maybe they hated their wives and kids,
implications. Right. Okay,
that's a whole other theory. So others think that they wanted to go on a day trip somewhere and just left the lighthouse and wanted to come back before sunset. But that also is probably not true because they were all like decorated light keepers, if possible. Like they been in like that world for experienced. Years.
Yeah.
And like the main rule is that there always has to be one person in the lighthouse.
Oh.
So all three of them.
You wouldn't
should've...
think that three of them would just wander off.
Yeah.
For a fun adventure. I mean, who knows? Maybe.
I don't know.
But yeah.
I mean, there's three of us right here, and we wander off and do a lot of really stupid shit.
We do, do a lot of stupid shit.
but basically, like, they knew that one of them always had to be there, so that's also not a likely theory. Some say that the weather was so bad that they likely hopped on a passing boat just to get away from the storm and then never came back. But also they would have come back unless, like, that's... that ship also
if everyone
crashed
was looking for them. Unless they crashed,
they should have left a message.
Yeah, something.
The men could have also just been kidnapped and taken hostage on an unknown boat.
Oh no,
that's another theory.
That's
and
scary.
Some think that a freak rogue wave just swept the men off the island, which has the most evidence actually, because of the potential, since there's evidence of a potential storm. Because, like, the iron rods were, like, ripped out of the concrete and all that.
Yeah.
They think, like, okay, maybe there was just, like, truly a wild fucking storm that, like, they wrote about saying they hadn't seen one like this in 20 years of experience. And they're crying and praying and they're grown men and things are ripped out of concrete. Like, maybe there was just, like, a freak storm. But also, all of the weather reports say that it was, like, a relatively calm
night.
That's
so weird.
one of the common theories is that one of the men was outside during the storm and slipped and fell from the landing, and the other two tried to rescue him.
Oh no.
Like, knowing that you're not supposed to leave the house, but out of urgency tried to save him.
Oh, no.
And then all of them got caught up in a wave. But then people also say that, like, that probably wasn't likely because then their bodies would have washed up.
Sure. Okay.
But a lot of people fight that that's, like, the most common theory, and, like, their evidence to back it up is that Thomas, the youngest one, he had already previously been in trouble during another storm where a really expensive equipment had got washed away because he didn't secure it properly.
Oh.
So they think that he might have been paranoid to make sure that it was secured and went outside to check on it during the storm and then, like,
got swept
up. Got swept up. And he also could have been, like, maybe he saw that something that was secure got damaged, and so he was trying to repair the damage.
Oh.
And that would actually explain the missing more ropes, because maybe he was
adjust, like, messing with them or something.
Yeah, but then that also doesn't explain why, like, if all three of them were out there to make sure that everything was secure, why weren't all of them wearing coats in Scotland in December? Or, like,
maybe they chased after him.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of,
oh my god, you could just go on and on.
One argument is that the bodies never washed up on the shore and they were never discovered. Also, there was no storm worthy of that size that could have, like, wiped
weird,
all of them
weird,
away
weird.
And because the bodies were never washed up, some people think that it was a triple murder and someone hid the bodies.
What?
And then because the place was in such proper order, maybe, like, went back and cleaned up after himself to make sure that, like, no blood was around, and tried to, like, make sure all the beds were tucked in and all that. Some also think that it was a double murder suicide where two of the men were killed by the third.
Oh,
and then
shit.
He killed himself. But then that theory has been debunked by saying, well, where are the bodies then?
Like, sure.
If he was going to kill all of them, he would have just done it in the lighthouse.
Weighed him down?
I don't know. Oh, maybe.
But then again, why would you, if you're going to commit suicide afterward, you're not trying to hide?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Several people also still fall back on the island's history of folklore and think the disappearance had something to do with the fairies or the little pilgrims.
Oh, right. I forgot about those guys.
Because they didn't, I know, bringing it back. But that because they did not follow the rules. Apparently, they were not, like, half naked all the time and spinning around. So,
oh my god, they messed up.
They messed up.
You're supposed to strip.
And the rule is that you never return home. So,
oh shit, that's quite creepy, actually.
Genius for the little pilgrims. So
you gotta strip and spin around for me.
Strip and spin. So
Hashtag Chippendales.
Oh my god. Others think that it was not the little pilgrims or the fairies, but they could have been abducted by aliens or been possessed by one of the spirits of Saint Flannan and his churchgoers.
Okay.
And while they were possessed, they could have wandered off, which explains why they thought there was a storm when weather reports say there wasn't. So maybe they could have, like, been hallucinating something.
Oh my god.
And other theories include government conspiracies, sea monsters, giant squids, and a sudden interdimensional portal opening up.
That's most likely, I think.
Truly, there's just, like, a whole world of
opportunity
here. I
like sea monsters and giant squid are different. But giant squid, they think, oh, right, because giant squid is, like...
Specifically squid. I mean, that is a subculture of the sea monster, one would think.
Right, but I think the giant squid is, people believe, like, an actual earth species, not like a okay.
I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. So these stem from, like, the idea that, like, portals and aliens might have done this all stem from the weird, powerful aura that I talked about earlier that surrounds the entire island. And people, like, feel really weird when they get near the island.
Yeah.
So they're thinking, like, apparently the feeling and sense of dread is so strong that people who have felt it totally believe that it could have been a ghost or an alien that took them. It's like,
whoa. That's
in their minds, just a totally reasonable argument. Several people that pass by on the boats say that the feeling and the aura is still there, and they swear that their character changes when they're close to the island.
Oh, God.
So people will get restless and irritable. They will feel like they're going to die. They refuse to eat. Sin. they black out, get dizzy, and they feel like people are staring at them all across the shore, like just lined up one by one staring.
Ew.
Since the disappearance of the lightkeepers, other lightkeepers who worked there up until 71, when they would work there, they reported cold spots, movements from the corner of their eyes, the sound of storms rolling in on clear days. It's like it would sound like a storm was coming in, but it was totally fine. Strange voices whispering the names of the three men who had vanished.
Oh.
Several of them swear that they hear...
The occasional.
Sorry. Imagine if we brought a spirit box and we just got, like, some Microsoft Sam voice.
Occasional. Oh, I'm imagining it.
And then this one's kind of, like, very ghostly, is one of the people working in the lighthouse swears that he took his shoes off, went to bed, and then woke up and his shoes were tied.
Ew!
They also apparently report never feeling alone and feel eyes on them through the windows, so they do not like to go in the kitchen anymore, which is where the meat and potatoes was. And they report that the doors will unlock themselves at night. On the 100th anniversary of the disappearance of the three men, the nearby town had a moment of silence, and they held a Flannan Isle mystery swim.
Why would you do such a thing?
Where the 21 miles between Flannan Isle and the Isle of Lewis, people tried to swim it in honor of
Let's kill more of us. Let's give more of ourselves.
So three guys, Colin, Ed, and Stuart, which to me is just like the most European names.
Colin, Ed, Stuart. Okay.
They were all from the Isle of Lewis, and they actually swam it, and they swam all 21 miles.
Jeez.
And each of them represented one of the lighthouse keepers. And if they were able to do it, they were trying to raise money for the Royal National Lifeboat Institution, which is a volunteer rescue organization that helps find missing people at sea.
Well, that's really nice.
So...
Thanks, Colin and Stuart.
So that's that on that.
That's that on that.
I, like, have nothing else to offer you.
That's wild times.
But a lot of questions.
There's something crazy about... something about lighthouse stories is so creepy to me because it's so insular and, like...
Yeah, like,
I mean, for lack of a better term, but...
They're already in, like, in non-scary situations.
So isolated.
Yeah. Isolated and by themselves.
Yeah, it's so creepy and, like, they live alone.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when there's, like, multiples and they're, like, trapped in the same place and they're, like, keeping a log. There's something so creepy about that.
Imagine a lighthouse, like, party. Like, a wild lighthouse party. Like, no one's going to find...
That's the most thing I ever heard. Imagine a lighthouse party.
I'm just thinking, like, in high school, my friends would have done quite a number on a lighthouse.
I guarantee it. Yeah. I guarantee it.
If thinking about salsa in a variety of delicious flavors and heat levels makes your mouth water, you need to check out Green Mountain Gringo. And make sure to turn the jar around and take a look at its clean backside, a list of its all-natural ingredients. Of course, that's what I meant, of course. And all their products are preservative-free, too. With the medium salsa, you get hearty chunks of tomatoes, tomatillos, peppers, and onions in every scoop. I'm reading the ad and my mouth is watering. Anyway, the hot salsa brings flavorful heat to every meal with each bite containing jalapenos, serrano peppers, and other savory herbs. Plus, they've got a hot sauce with a tangy, spicy flavor that enhances the simplest of meals. It's perfect for avocado egg toast or tacos. I sort of feel like they're reading my mind because I put salsa on almost everything, but specifically, I use their salsa. I use usually the medium salsa and then also the hot sauce.
sauce on my avocado egg toast. And I don't know how the script knew that. Maybe everybody eats this, but I always make toast with avocado and then I put scrambled eggs on top and I put salsa. I can't eat it without salsa. And the Green Mountain Gringo is always there for me in the fridge because it really adds to, I mean, any meal if you're me, but definitely the eggs avocado toast situation. Visit greenmountaingringo.com and start shopping. Use the store locator to find Green Mountain Gringo products, get inspiration for recipes, and purchase products using promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off. That's promo code PODCAST24. And don't forget to check out their backside.
So you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. In fact, I actually shout this at any friends I have who are engaged because it saved my life when I was planning my wedding. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can design save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. I tell my friends Zola is a one stop shop, right? This is the key to planning a wedding. I didn't even have a wedding planner. I used Zola and they were so helpful on every front. Everything from save the dates to a wedding website to online RSVPs to finding vendors. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake, Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
All right, we are back from our bathroom break. We spent approximately 25 minutes talking about the pros and cons of Greek life.
I was 100% pro.
I was 100% against, but now
I'm
like...
And then Eva was like the happy medium.
And now I'm like, maybe in a future life.
Yes. Anyway, moving on.
Here we go. I have a story for you. So this is a... unique, special situation. And Eva knows about this, I think. She's like, no, I don't. But she does.
Oh, okay.
So, basically, we got an email from a woman named Kelly D from Cleveland, which normally I'm like, boo, Cleveland. But today I love Cleveland.
Okay.
Because Kelly, Kelly was like, Christine, this is for you. You must be having a really... So I saw this email on the day where I was like having a mental breakdown about leaving my job, about like wedding planning, about the podcast, just everything was like hitting me at once. And then this email came in and it was from Kelly and she said, you must be having a really rough time with like planning your wedding and your full-time job and da da da. So just for fun, I like put together some research on this serial killer. And like, you take it or leave it. You can use it if you want. And I was like, oh, that's so nice.
So basically she wrote your notes for you this week.
So I was like, oh, that's nice. And I saved the email. And then Eva sent it to me and I was like, okay, yeah, bookmark this. And then yesterday, like with all the frantic stuff about leaving, I'm like, I have to do a story. Oh my God. I'm so stressed out. And I was like, let me just take a look at this. And I looked through it and I was like, this is fascinating. And then I will say I did spend yesterday and today like listening to some episodes of Serial Killers, the Parcast podcast, and like researching it. But she literally gave me
your notes.
My notes.
Well, thank you, Kelly D.
Kelly.
Who wants to do that for me?
I knew you would say that. And I don't mean it to be like, hey, someone did my notes for me.
I know.
I don't mean it to be that way. But
it's just a cheap shot.
I was just like, wow, this is very nice. But like, thank you. Like, don't worry. I got it. And then I like didn't got it. And I was like, how did you know that this week of all fucking weeks, I would just
She's a little guardian angel.
Little guardian angel, Kelly. And I mean, I definitely like reworded it and like did my own research. But a lot of times I'll go through my notes or I'll start researching and I'll do like 6 people before I like settle on one.
Right.
So it was nice to have like a framework and then be like, great. So I have this and then I'll just like build on it.
Right.
So it was just really great. So thank you, Kelly, for doing that for me. It was hugely helpful. And this is not a normal thing that I do, but I wanted to say thank you. And wow, did you really, really save my ass this week? So this is the story of Charles Cullen.
Okay.
And, so Kelly herself is a nurse and Charles Cullen was a nurse. So this was, so it was kind of cool because she put her own like notes in it. Yeah. Yeah. So it was really interesting. So Charles Cullen was born on February 20th. And I'd never heard of him, by the way, which after you hear this will be kind of shocking. So,
okay. I have not either.
Which are kind of my favorites when you're like,
Eva, did you know about him?
Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy because sometimes you hear these and you're like, how did I not know about this motherfucker? So Charles Cullen was born February 22nd, 222,
mm-hmm.
1960 in West Orange, New Jersey, and he was the youngest of eight children. His father was a bus driver, and unfortunately, he died when Charles was only 7 months old. So that kind of left his mother to raise...
Fend for all eight of them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. To, like, fend for eight kids and raise them by herself. So Charlie had what he called a pretty miserable childhood. He was described as intelligent but odd, which made him, like, a prime target for bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And by the age of nine... At the age of nine, Charlie made his first of many suicide attempts.
Oh, boy.
Okay. By drinking chemicals from a chemistry set. And he said later he just decided, well, I don't want to be here anymore. And just mixed together a bunch of chemicals from a toy chemistry set. Did not work, just made him very sick. But that was where everything kind of started. So there was reportedly a lot of domestic abuse in their household as well. His sister's husband, so his one of his sisters... had a husband,
mm-hmm.
his brother-in-law. He could be quite cruel. And his sister, who was pregnant by the brother-in-law, actually ran away, but the brother-in-law stayed. And he and Charlie had a, quote, tortured relationship.
Okay.
So Charles later admitted that he would put lighter fluid in the brother's vodka to try and poison him when he was, like, 9, 10.
Some
like,
Michael Malone shit.
Yeah, so, it would like, try to get rid of him because he was just so cruel to him as a right. child, which is just so fucked
up. But, yeah,
up.
That's definitely a torture relationship because one of them kind of wants to go and one of them
yeah.
wants to see him go. It's really fucked up.
It's really twisted.
That's really fucked up.
And okay. one of them is an adult and the other is 10 years old. Right. And, like, he's trying to poison. It's really, really sad. So, obviously, that's kind of like a... thing we see a lot with these guys that they right. just have terrible childhoods. So surprise, things don't get better. At age 17, Charlie's mother dies in a car accident, and he's absolutely devastated because he's the only like stable person mm-hmm. in his life that's left. So he isn't able to finish high school, even though he's in his senior year. He drops out. At age 18, he joins the Navy, and he starts working with ballistic missiles. Missiles? Missiles.
English isn't your first language.
It's
we get
not!
It. We
it's
get
not!
It. Missiles.
Oh, I need a drink. Hold on.
I think it's because I just had a whole story called Flynn and Isles. And they're kind of spelled the same. I'm trying to save
missiles.
You.
Missiles. Yeah, okay.
Because so, you said missiles or
no, something. No, I didn't say missiles. I'm not say? Bestie, but I said missiles.
Missiles. Oh, and Isles, yeah. I'm just trying to help you.
No, I appreciate it.
Okay.
I just didn't say missiles, and I just want to clarify that. Guys, at our live shows, we play a drinking game, and Em's always like, oh, if Christine says English isn't my first language, I'm like, why the fuck would I say that? And I say it like four times a show. Like, it just comes up all the time.
Every time she's like, I feel attacked because all the reasons people are going to drink is because of shit I do. And I'm like, okay, but you're going to do all of them.
But that's the point.
So there's that.
That's the point. Anyway, so... it's not my first language. Ballistic missiles.
You nailed it.
I'm going to say missile. Is it missiles?
I mean, it's definitely missiles, but I guess as a German, you can say whatever you want.
Wait, what do you think it is?
I feel like the Brits might say missiles, right? Like, I imagine...
The Brits say some funky
guys,
shit.
Guys, I'm British. Missiles. I spent a lot of time with Joanna at work.
Oh, maybe she... Maybe they say it.
Missiles. Missiles? Okay.
I don't know.
Let's just say it doesn't matter. He was bullied there, too. And he showed odd behavior. So one disturbing incident, which was reported to superiors by Cullen's shipmates, was when Cullen was discovered sitting at the missile... God, I gotta say it again.
It's okay. Just, we're all gonna just get together.
Missiles. Control panel of the submarine. He was wearing a hospital gown, gloves, and a mask that he had stolen. And he was just sitting there in the dark.
Wow.
And they walked in and the guy was like, what the fuck? The first they were like, who are you? And he turns around with his hands up in the air and they're like, what are you doing here? And he's wearing a hospital mask, gloves, and a gown. And they were like,
I would truly just be like, oh, today this is how I always wondered how I die. Here's the answer.
I will jump off the ship right now and that'll be the end.
I'd be like, I think I'm just gonna die from passing out
or
in
that.
Fear
correct.
Of this
yes.
exact moment. Yeah,
it was like really so the guy was like so taken aback and was like, what are you doing? I questioned him and he was like he had no answer. They sent him back to his bunk. just an example of like how weird he was. Apparently he would like make faces at people on the ship, and he would like talk about death all the time, and they were like, this guy's weird.
You just described two things that I do.
Make faces and talk about death. Yeah, yeah.
God, Renee's probably like, get out of here faster.
Like, she's like, oh God, am I supposed to be telling someone? So unfortunately, over his like six-ish year Navy career, he attempted suicide 7 times. Yeah.
Oh no.
And was medically discharged in 1984 at the age of 24, but it's not clear what he was discharged for.
Wait, so he's 24 and has tried to end his life 20 times. Because 17 and then like...
No, 7 times.
I was thinking 17. Okay.
7 and then once when he was a kid. So okay. 8
still
times.
Like almost 10 times by 20.
8 times.
That's still a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yowza. Okay.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Yes. It's very upsetting. So shortly after leaving the Navy, which it wasn't clear why he was discharged. They never really clarified whether it was psychological, medical. I think they said medical reasons, but they didn't clarify whether it was psychological. So shortly after leaving the Navy, Cullen starts nursing school at the Mountainside Hospital School of Nursing in Montclair, New Jersey. So at age 27, he graduates. He is the president of his class.
Wow.
Yeah. His first job out of school is at the burn unit of St. Barnabas Medical Center in Livingston, New Jersey. And at this point, he's 28 years old. And he meets computer programmer Adrian Taub.
Okay.
And I just think it's pretty badass that in the 80s there was like a computer programmer lady.
Oh yeah. Involved. Let's go feminism. 1000%. Yeah.
I'm just so on board with
that. She's a good person, right? We can all root for her?
Yeah, we love Adrian.
Okay, good. But we don't like that he's 28 and a little Looney Tunes and working in a burn unit, right?
We don't like that.
Okay.
And we won't like it in the future.
Okay.
But Adrian Taub is a badass computer programmer. She's pretty great. So they eventually have 2 daughters together, and apparently the year that they married, he is just like on his game. Like, he is charming, he's funny, he's hilarious. Like, his classmates literally vote him class president. Like, he's just killing the game. And I was listening to the Serial Killers podcast on Parcast, and they were saying like, well, yeah, like sociopaths are really able to just adopt like the mannerisms and jokes and facial expressions, and they can just charm the hell out of people because they know exactly what people are looking for.
Is that why you were talking to me about?
Yes.
During what you hear were as ads, it was actually 25 minutes of Christine talking about sorority girls with me, and it stemmed from my "it's just funny" voice. And Christine was like, you know how like some people who, you know, they can like they can mimic facial expressions and like they're really charming. And I was like, this came out of basically, she was trying to figure out how I perfected the voice.
Okay, to be fair, Em was like, oh, I spent so much time around these people, I was able to mimic them. And I was like, oh, it's like how sociopaths can mimic facial features and
basically, yeah.
I mean, it really is. Like, they can like take it as like a third party observer and like throw it back at you and like utilize it. And yeah. I'm not obviously not saying you're a psychopath. Obviously.
I just do it.
You're too much of a Gemini to be a psychopath.
I have my own astrological issues, but I...
Don't we all?
But, no, I think if I were to utilize my skill in one specific way, it would be the behavior of a drunk girl in a bathroom.
Right.
At a sorority party.
Right, right.
Anyway.
Which is the opposite of all that you are, which is hilarious to me. Which is why hilarious? It's so
funny. Funny. It's just funny.
Oh, God. All right,
moving on, I guess, or whatever. It's fine. No, it's fine. I was done, so we're fine.
I mean, guys, stop tweeting that you don't like it, because you're wrong.
If you don't like it, it just gives me reason to do it more, so.
That's exactly correct.
Sorry, I guess. Love you, mean it.
Someone tweeted "love you, mean it" at us recently, and I was like, oh, wow.
It's like, oh, I say it too much.
I didn't even realize this was said on the podcast. I just hear Em say it to me all the
time. I tell Christine all the time, love your hair, hate your guts.
That's a good one. That should be a slogan.
Someone put that on a shirt. Okay, go.
Do it.
Okay, go.
Have you done it? It's okay. So good.
Okay. Okay, while you do that, we're going to tell you a story now.
Okay. Adrian Taub, computer programmer. Pretty baller for the 80s.
Yeah, we love her.
In my opinion. So, Cullen's first confirmed murder took place on June 11th, 1988, while working as a nurse in the burn unit, the St. Barnabas burn unit that I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
His victim was John Yengo Sr., a former municipal court judge known for giving convicted criminals tough sentences.
Mm-hmm.
So, Cullen killed Yengo, who was 72 at the time, by injecting him with a lethal dose of insulin.
Mm.
And Yango was being treated for allergies.
Oh, no.
I also saw on a different source, I don't know which is true, that he was being treated for a severe sunburn. Burn unit, which makes more sense. Burn unit. So I don't know.
Sure, or an allergy to the sun.
Right. I guess it could be either, truly. But it was something not life-threatening.
Right, right, right.
And he, that was his first confirmed
kill.
Kill. He later admitted to killing several other patients at St. Barnabas, including an AIDS patient who died after being given an overdose of insulin. Cullen left St. Barnabas in January of 92 when hospital authorities began investigating who had contaminated IV bags.
Oh, no.
The investigation determined that Cullen was most likely responsible, resulting in dozens of patient deaths at the hospital. So now we got a nurse note, which Kelly is just such...
I love a nurse She's note. I like that.
The best.
She you goes, know I love a good alliteration as well. So nurse note just nails it.
Correct. I was like, is there a fun name? Oh, no, she gave us a fun name. Asterisk. Nurse note. So most bags of fluids are kept in a medicine room, basically unprotected from interference. If someone like Cullen wanted to, it would be pretty easy to inject any clear drug into a bag of fluids without any sign of someone messing with it. So he would put insulin or heart medications into fluids and leave them there for an unsuspecting nurse to pick up and hang on her patient.
Later, you're just killing at random.
Her patient starts to have crazy low blood sugars for no reason, or their heart goes crazy. No one can figure out why, but Cullen was the first one in the room to run the code. But so the bags would have like the patient name or whatever. So he could just go in and just like pick who he wanted to insert fluids. Yeah. So that was really interesting to me because I wouldn't have known that.
Crazy.
Yeah. Nurse note. End of nurse note. So after leaving St. Barnabas, Cullen takes a job at Warren Hospital in Phillipsburg, where he murders three elderly women by giving them overdoses of the heart medication digoxin.
Okay.
Had to YouTube that one.
Okay, you can say digoxin, but you can't say fucking missiles.
Missiles. Sounds right.
It does sound right, because it is right.
I like how Eva tried to be so nice with being like, yeah, that the British way is missiles. And I'm like, oh, okay.
That's why we have Eva.
Oh, that means I was wrong.
Sometimes I'm a little harsh, and that's why we have Eva, because she's the sugar coater. She's the occasional sugar coater.
Missiles. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Damn it. Oh, digoxin, by the way.
Digoxin. So, God damn it. So his final victim, this is actually really, 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 really fucked up. So his final victim of these three women said that a, quote, sneaky male nurse, end quote, had injected her as she slept. But family members and healthcare providers at the hospital dismissed her comments as unfounded. And she died.
Oh my gosh.
They just said it didn't make any sense.
If I were like a relative of hers, yeah. I would
How
be
tragic.
Livid.
How tragic is that?
You know what's weird though? I had a great uncle, my grandpa who passed away that follows me everywhere that everyone's aware of. Hopefully. Nope. Okay.
Now you are.
Now you are. The ghost that I saw when I was seven that I consider someone who sees
on the
me
bed.
All the time. Yeah. So his older brother. Apparently, and I'm going to butcher this, I need to ask my mom about this, but he was in and out of hospitals a lot while I was growing up, and every time he got, no matter what hospital it was, he would swear that there was, like, some male nurse trying to attack him.
What?
And they don't know if like, it was, like, the medicine, they always just assume, like, oh, he's just, like,
right,
you know, on medicine, hallucinating, but even before they put, like, apparently he would remember it when he wasn't medicated. He'd be like, someone's trying to attack me. And he would say it every time he went to a hospital. And I don't know if that was ever true or not, but he just swore by it and was always terrified of this guy that.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I don't know. That it reminded me of
it's
that.
Very spooky.
As I'm saying it out loud, it really just, it holds no relevance. But.
No, but.
I don't know.
But,
if
it,
I'm ever
but it does
say it
because
again.
It's like, oh, well, that was probably just him being.
Yeah, but it makes
on
me
medication.
Think I'm like, maybe he was right. Or maybe
but you never know. Yeah.
Maybe it was the Grim Reaper.
Who knows?
Ooh, dressed Listen, as a nurse.
It could be either of our stories.
I mean, who knows?
Playing relevance.
Anyway.
But yeah, so who knows? But she said that and they were like, oh, no, you're just delusional or whatever. And, you know, she was older, so they were able to just play it off as like, oh, she just doesn't know.
Isn't that fun that we don't take old people seriously?
No, of course.
Even though they have the most wisdom.
Super fun. Super great. Super fun. So around this time, Cullen's wife, Adrian, serves him with divorce papers, and he moves into a basement apartment. So Adrian files for divorce on the grounds of, quote, extreme cruelty.
Okay.
The divorce and domestic violence documents described Cullen as an alcoholic who treated their two dogs extremely cruelly.
I don't like that.
Nope. It's not good. Sometimes even stuffing them into bowling bags and trash cans.
Oh.
They had two little Yorkies.
Oh, they're so tiny.
And PETA actually, no, not PETA, SPCA actually came and took one because he left it outside in the middle of winter in New Jersey. And it was like in horrible conditions. And the SPCA came and took it because it
was. And they didn't take the other one or they didn't know?
No, the other one was not outside. Like he just stranded one outside and it came. They came and took the one.
Oh my God. And then, that poor other one that stayed and got double the.
Well, and then. Adrian got the other one back because she's like, no, we won't hurt it. And it just was not good. That
Yorkie had 5 minutes of safety.
Well, yeah. And I think that was like the straw. And then she divorced him and took the dogs and the kids. So I think they were fine after that.
Oh, okay.
But he also hurt the neighbor's dog, which you usually hear about kids doing that. Right. Have sociopathic tendencies. But even as an adult, before he and his wife had dogs, he killed the neighbor's dog by poisoning it and just left it. It was not good. So she filed for divorce on the grounds of extreme cruelty. And then after the breakdown of his marriage, Cullen became obsessed with one of his I missed something interesting. So
a nurse note?
Not a nurse note. There's another one coming up, but not a nurse note. So according to the divorce paperwork, Adrian also said that Charles would pour lighter fluid into other people's drinks for fun.
Oh, so just like how it happened to him.
Mm-hmm. No, he did that to his older brother.
Oh, right.
Brother-in-law. Yeah.
I see.
So he would like continually like pour poisonous stuff into people's drinks. He would prank call funeral homes for fun. And he would like cut out faces in photos. Like that was like his hobby. It was just creepy stuff.
Also now, sidebar, I'm realizing that I thought earlier that the brother-in-law was feeding him chemicals.
Oh, no.
And he wanted to end his life. So he was like happily doing it.
Oh, no.
That's why I thought like, oh, tortured relationship. And like one wants to go and one wants the other one to go.
Oh, no. So he was poisoning the brother-in-law.
Got it. Okay. So he's just been doing this his whole life.
Yes. Gotcha. The kid was just trying to kill everyone. I see the whole time. Yes. So he was still doing the same thing of putting like lighter fluid in people's drinks.
Great.
There's actually I was listening to that podcast and he actually would put, so, you know, I said he was bullied in high school. He went to like a party. I don't know if it was a reunion party or what, or maybe in high school. And he brought a bunch of rat poison and like poured it in a bunch of people's drinks.
Oh my God.
And nobody died, but it was like his retribution and he got a bunch of people sick. And that was before he ever murdered anybody. So it was kind of like
the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so anyway, moving on. After the breakdown of his marriage, Cullen becomes obsessed with one of his fellow nurses at Warren Hospital, and her name is Michelle Tomlinson. According to a police report, Tomlinson said Cullen called her repeatedly despite her requests for him to stop. He also followed her around at the hospital. He attempted to give her an engagement ring, was like buying her expensive gifts, and she was like, dude, I'm not interested, and he wouldn't give it up. In March of 1993, he broke into Michelle's home while she and her young son were sleeping.
Oh, boy.
But he just kind of wandered around and then left before they woke up. He then began stalking her and, like, truly would not leave her alone. She eventually filed a police report against him, and he pleaded guilty to trespassing and received 1 year of probation.
Okay.
The day after his arrest, he attempted suicide again.
Okay.
Unsuccessfully. After that, Cullen started working at a number of different hospitals and would leave basically any time management would get suspicious of his actions.
Got it.
So he later, January and September of 1996, January through September, he admitted to murdering 5 patients between that period of time.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. With overdoses of digoxin.
Mm-hmm.
On December 30th, 1998, he murdered yet another patient, March 1999, murdered another patient, attempted to murder another. Between 99 and 2002, he murdered at least 5 and is known to have attempted to kill 2 more.
Oh my gosh.
Between 02 and 03, he killed at least 8 patients, attempted to kill at least 1, using digoxin, insulin, and epinephrine.
Oh, wow.
And then even with his history of mental instability, the number of deaths during his employment at various hospitals, he continued to find work because at the time there was a national shortage of nurses.
Oh, so they were like desperate.
Desperate for nurses. And at the same time, you know, we're in the, like the 90s, early 2000s. They didn't have a mechanism for identifying nurses with like specific problems or, you know, what have you. So they didn't have any way of reporting his mental health or employment problems. So his cycle of like suicide attempts and murders just continued throughout the years. He would also cross state lines. So any suspicion that might have existed at one place would be erased if he crossed the state line and went somewhere else. They just didn't have any sort of access to his past records. So in 1998, Cullen worked at a nursing home for about 8 months, and he was fired after he went into the room of one elderly woman with 5 syringes in his hand. And then when they went in to see her, so he left then with no syringes.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they went in, she had a broken arm. And she had not been injected, but her arm was broken. And they were like, we don't know what the fuck happened, but
oh my God,
you're fired. So they fire him. But they don't report it. They just fire him.
Right? Okay. Right.
So, again, he's just able to move on and find a job elsewhere. And, again, there's this nurse shortage. So he's just able to, like, walk in anywhere and get a job.
Yeah.
And here is the nurse note, number 2.
Okay.
From Kelly.
Yay.
Which I thought was really interesting. So she says, I'm not sure how most jobs give recommendations, but hospitals usually just confirm the dates that you worked at the establishment, and they won't pass on any other info to the new job.
That's so scary.
Like, he was asked to leave because we knew he was killing patients. But truly, like, so they would be like, oh, yes, we confirm he was working here from January to November.
Oh, my gosh.
But it wasn't like a...
But if he's like give assaulting, us a review
or assaulting why was he fired? Or, exactly. And I was listening to that other podcast, and they were basically saying like there was such an issue with like libel or slander. Like a hospital was just desperate to keep itself safe and like didn't want to get sued. And if they made an accusation against a nurse and they didn't have evidence, they could be sued for libel or slander, and that could just destroy the whole hospital. So they were like so paranoid about not making accusations that couldn't be founded.
Mm-hmm.
So they would just, like, basically shuffle him along from hospital to hospital. Even if they fired him, they were like, someone else take him. And they wouldn't put any report out there.
There's no Yelp for nurses.
No, exactly. At least without any sort of consequence.
Mm-hmm.
So Kelly also added this note that I didn't see online, actually, that I thought was really interesting. She said he had some other really creepy behavior. He would give super long bed baths to patients. So, like, he would, like...
Ew.
Basically like sponge baths or whatever in bed,
which is like the thing you should do the quickest, by the way.
Yeah, like just not super long.
It's nobody
not,
wants that.
Not good. And he would put Vaseline all over them.
Ugh.
And then staff could tell who was Cullen's patient because they looked like, quote, greased pigs, which just grosses me.
Oh, no.
Fuck out. Yeah, so there's that. So Cullen's last job was his deadliest, unfortunately. He started working at Somerset Medical Center in New Jersey in September of 2002. He killed at least 13 patients and attempted to murder 2 others.
Oh, no.
Yeah. One of the patients murdered by Cullen was the Reverend Florian Gall, who was 68 years old and had been admitted to the hospital with heart disease and other medical problems.
Oh.
He was very ill, but he was making a good recovery. Doctors prescribed digoxin to calm his rapid heartbeat, which was like a normal use of the drug. And then a blood test after his last dose of the drug showed normal levels. So he actually was starting to come out of his coma and was starting, he was like on the mend basically. But on June 27th of 2003, Cullen took a dosage of digoxin from a medicine cart, slipped into Father Gall's room and injected him with the drug. So they did new blood tests and they showed that Father Gall's digoxin levels were almost 5 times the normal and safe level.
Oh, baby.
So there was panic, obviously, at the hospital. They tried to save his life with an antidote, but unfortunately they couldn't save him and he passed away, even though he was
on his way.
So Father Gall's family and parishioners were shocked by the death, but assumed that, like, you know, he was older, like something must have just happened and he wasn't able to make it. However, this is the death that set Cullen's downfall in motion, because computerized records later showed hospital administrators that Cullen had taken the drug out himself, and had also checked Father Gall's medical records and his status, even though Father Gall was not one of his patients. So they started to finally put together, like, well, he was the one who checked out this medication. He was the one checking his hospital records, even though this guy wasn't his patient. In Cullen's final months at the hospital, coworkers reported seeing him in rooms he was not meant to be in. The hospital computer showed that he was accessing records of patients that he was not assigned to, and he was requesting medications for patients that had not been prescribed. And the New Jersey Poison Information and Education System actually alerted the hospital that a recent pattern of drug overdose deaths at the hospital could possibly be the work of an employee killing patients. So the New Jersey, like the state poison center was just so you know, like this is usually this a sign.
Is not good.
Yeah, there's a sign that maybe one of your employees is murdering patients.
And how come, I know you probably answered this and either I like blacked out or something, but how come like, so this was just the first hospital that just like decided to take it seriously?
No, so they still haven't taken it seriously. Okay. They've noticed this.
But, like, every hospital so far has noticed it and then just, like, kind of, like, kicked them away.
Yeah, there's issues of legal stuff, like libel, slander. There's issues of they can't prove it. There's issues of we need nurses. So there's there's just a lot of things. And it was, you know, the anywhere from when did this start, like, the 70s into the 90s. It was just, like, arbitrary. There's also issues of, like, well, it can't be proven because it's not computerized yet.
Got it.
And then
finally
it's now, like, people are noticing because it's patterned in the computer system and
So
finally at this point, the New Jersey Poison Information Education System is like, hey, something's up. So they contact them and are like, something's going on here. But to cover their own asses, going into your story or into your question, the hospital delays contacting authorities until October of 2003. So many months later, during which Cullen kills five more patients.
Oh my God. How are these hospital? I hope these are not functioning hospitals anymore. And anyone on any board of any of these hospitals is in jail.
I don't know. No, they're not. They're definitely not.
Oh my gosh.
So Cullen has a best friend at work. It's another nurse. Her name's Amy Loughran. And she agreed to start working with police at this point because they were like questioning people he worked with and were like, we need help pinning him down.
Mm-hmm.
So she takes him out to eat at their favorite restaurant. She's wearing a wire. And she starts asking him, like, oh, well, what do you, like, she basically presented it as, oh, they're pinning me for it, and, like, tried to play along. And she later said, like, I still feel guilty for lying to him about that. And I'm like,
oh, my gosh, weird.
Yeah, but
I guess because he was so charming, maybe.
And they were best
know.
Friends. It's, like, very weird.
True.
Yeah. But so he confesses to her, and the police show up at the restaurant that they're eating at and arrest him on December 12th of 2003. And just side note, at the time, another nurse he was working with was pregnant with his child at this point.
Don't
know who that was.
That is the dirt I came for.
Juicy.
Yeah.
Also, at one of these hospitals, he was also having an affair with a woman who was married. So he's just like trolling around, like causing trouble left and fucking right. So on March 2nd, 2006, Cullen is sentenced to 18 consecutive life sentences. In New Jersey.
Thank God.
And is not eligible for parole until the year 2403.
2403? I've never even heard that year.
We'll all be dead by then. The world will be dead by then, but yeah.
Oh, my, I've truly never even heard of that.
Yep.
I recently thought, I was like, one day someone's going to say like, oh, I'm from the year 9000.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I think about that all the fucking time. It's like, how do you even wrap your head around that?
For someone who just bathes themselves in time travel theories 24/7, I'm surprised it never hit me.
True.
But like, I just thought it recently and I was like, oh my God, that just sounds so weird.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Anyway.
So this is very, just to give kind of a perspective, his youngest known victim was murdered at Somerset in May 2003. He was 21 years old. His name was Michael Ostrenko, and he was a star athlete, but he had a blood disorder. He was in the hospital for a spleen transplant, which was, it was a serious procedure, but it was also, like, not out of the ordinary. He was expected to make a full recovery. He was only 21 years old, and Cullen injected him with, I think it was Digoxin, and murdered him.
Jeez.
So Michael's father, Thomas Drenko, was one of the many loved ones of Cullen's victims who spoke at his sentencing hearing on March 2nd, 2006. And he said, quote, "For someone to be able to hop from hospital to hospital with these problems for over 15 years defies trust. We are outraged that no one stopped Charles Cullen from murdering my son." And on March 10th, Cullen was brought into the courtroom of Lehigh County President Judge William H. Platt for a sentencing hearing. And for whatever reason, Cullen, who was upset with the judge, just kept repeating over and over and over and over again, quote, "Your Honor, you need to step down." And he said it over and over and over again for 30 minutes until Platt had Cullen gagged with cloth and duct tape.
What?
This is 2003. He had somebody come and duct tape cloth into his mouth to shut him up because he would not stop saying it. And then after being gagged, he continued to try scream to say it through the cloth, "Your Honor, you need to step down." And someone said it was like a horrific row, row, row your boat, like just over and over and over again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So after this hearing, Platt gave him an additional six life sentences for his behavior. So as part of his plea agreement, Cullen had been working with law enforcement to identify additional victims. So they didn't give him the death penalty because they were like, well, we can get more information out of him and get like more information about his victims. So in 2006, Cullen's attorney said that Cullen wanted to, quote, "atone for his sins by donating his kidney to the brother of one of his ex-girlfriends."
Oh, that'll do it.
Yep. And he said, well, this is my way of paying for what I've done. And they were like, okay. No. But in order to get the donation approved, Cullen refused to cooperate with investigators or appear at legal hearings until they let him donate his kidney. Because they were like, no, you can't just donate your kidney.
Yeah.
Be quiet.
Just show up with it in a box and be like, I'm ready.
Here you go. But he refused to cooperate, and they really needed him to like give his testimony about all these people he had murdered. So finally, in August 2006, he was permitted to proceed with the kidney donation, and it saved this guy's life. So Cullen said, quote, "I was just trying to help somebody who was going to die without a kidney." And then his lawyer said, "I know there's a certain amount of irony involved here." His own lawyer. Okay, so anyway, the aftermath. So Cullen said he administered... So his claim was that he gave overdoses to patients in order to spare them from being coded. So as in like cardiac or respiratory arrest. He told detectives that he could not bear witness or hear about attempts at saving a victim's life. Like he just couldn't handle the thought of trying to rescue a victim. And he wanted to like end it, which is just so beyond fucked up. He also said that he gave patients overdoses so that he could end their suffering and prevent hospital personnel from dehumanizing them, even though a lot of his victims weren't terminal.
Yeah.
And were like on the mend or were like 21 and were going through like typical procedures. Like there was no reason that he needed to fucking end their suffering. It was just an excuse, basically.
Oh, my God.
To like validate it. So blah, 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 blah. So Cullen told investigators that although he often observed patients suffering for several days, the decision to commit each murder was performed impulsively.
Okay.
And he said that he lived most of his life in a fog and that he usually blacked out murdering his victims.
Oh, my God.
So remember when I mentioned that he murdered like three elderly women with digoxin?
Yeah.
So the first woman that he murdered, she was 90 years old and his family her family had grieved and everything, and then they later found out that her death was not natural and that he had actually caused it. One of the family members basically said, quote, "I had closure, but this opens everything back up. It makes it seem as though she died yesterday." That was her grandson. So it was very like,
I get that though. I mean, I truly have not lived that, so I can't totally get it. But like if something happened to someone I cared about and then all of a sudden I found out like someone was in control of that,
yeah,
then I'd be like, oh my God, like now I'm thinking, yeah.
Because you come to terms with like, oh, it was her time to go, whatever. And then it's like, oh wait, no, somebody
just decided,
forced that.
That the person I loved could just stop being alive.
And she could have had 5-10 more years with us, whatever. It's like, yeah, it's really, really sad. So Cullen confessed to authorities that he killed up to 40 patients during the course of his 16-year career as a nurse in New Jersey. However, in subsequent interviews with police, psychiatrists, and journalists, it became apparent that he had killed many more, whom he could not specifically remember by name, though he could often remember details of their murders. Experts have estimated that Cullen may ultimately be responsible for 400 deaths. Which would make him the most prolific serial killer in recorded history.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And the fact that that's not so much more popular known, of a story, not popular in a good way, but like well known, like that is just so creepy that a story like that is just under our radar at all times.
Because when Kelly sent this, she's like, oh, one of the most prolific serial killers in our history. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I've never heard of this person. Right.
So prompted by the Cullen case, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and 35 other states adopted new laws which encourage employers to give honest appraisals of workers' job performance and which give employers legal protections when they provide a truthful, like an honest employee appraisal. So if they say something happened, they can't be sued for slander libel.
Right. Okay.
60 Minutes interviewed Cullen in 2013, and that was the first time the show had ever interviewed a serial killer. And during the interview, Cullen said he was sorry for his crimes, but then he added, quote, like I said, I don't know if I would ever have stopped. And that is the story of Ed. Nope, not Edward Cullen.
Edward Cullen's
from Twilight.
This story.
Fuck me.
The nurse notes were actually written by Stephanie Meyer.
Oh my God, no. I regret everything. The story of Charles Cullen.
You literally had two words left.
Twilight. And Twilight's going to sue me. God damn it.
I was really... Okay, we're done. Anyway, everyone, that was all of the Cullens. Some vampire, some not.
There's got to be a Charles Cullen. It's pretty...
Yeah.
Who's a serial killer?
Oh my God. I mean, vampires are serial killers in their own right.
That's right. That's exactly what I'm saying. Anyway, isn't that a wild story?
Yeah, that's bananas.
I can't believe I didn't know that. That's what blew my mind.
True.
I have a... Scorpioscope.
Itty bitty baby.
And now I can't find it. Hold on.
Sweet baboogie. Oh, here it is. Boy. Okay.
So, oh, by the way, today's my mom's birthday.
Happy birthday, Renata.
Happy birthday, Renata. She's in Germany. She's asleep now, but she and Alexander and Allie are in Germany and they're at a beer garden and they're having a great fucking time.
Great.
And I'm jealous.
Good for them.
But it's fine. So happy birthday, Renata. Here's Gio's Scorpioscope.
Okay.
Anyone who starts something with you at any time obviously doesn't know you very well.
Ain't that the truth?
If they did, they'd have some respect for your ability to, at the very least, intimidate someone so that they end up looking over their shoulder for many, many moons.
Oh, he's so scary. Oh, he's so handsome.
Like how they say, for many, many moons.
Many. Like, I like to think if Gio could use his, like, had vocal cords and could speak human English, I hope he would curse people with many moons.
It would be this weird LA granola, like, talk. Like, yes, it's many moons from now.
Oh, my God. Like, I'm not going to talk to you for many moons. You'll know when. I'll know when. The stars will know when.
My crystal Thank will you. Light up and you will know.
I'll contact you via pendulum. Thank you. See you at the farmer's market. Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. At the moment, though, in the mood you're obviously in, should someone refuse to back off given the warning signs? Well, let's just say they deserve what they get.
That is the most Scorpio fucking horoscope I've ever had in my life.
It is, isn't it?
Ugh.
What the fuck?
People wonder why I don't like Scorpios. And it's because they are scary if that's the stuff that's coming out of them astrologically. No.
My favorite is when Scorpios tweet us. They're like,
but why? I'm a good Scorpio. You'll like me.
My favorite is when they're like, yeah, LOL. I'm a Scorpio. I'm just as horrible as you say I am. LOL. But love me anyway. And I'm like, so you recognize your own crazy self.
It's like, okay, at least the Scorpios can like look in a mirror better than other people.
Yes, they have,
I guess,
self-reflection. Just kidding. I never hated Scorpios. Em was the one who taught me to do that.
I hate one specific Scorpio. I love one specific Scorpio as well. And the rest, I guess, are
they're fine.
They're jumbled. They're the occasional.
I'm seeing if this one's any good. These are just so funny because, like, to picture from Gio's... obviously, that's the point of this, but...
I just imagine Gio could, like... How, like, a bitchy seventh grader will flip her hair. He, like, flips his butt curtain.
Totally.
He's like, many moons.
Many, many moons.
See you then.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, I think that's good for today.
Well, also today is my 3-year anniversary of moving to LA.
Oh shit!
And so that being said, I cannot believe how much we've accomplished in 3 years.
August 16th is your anniversary?
Within this week. I was currently road tripping with my mom across the country to get here right before the program started for the LA.
When did that start? Because Blaze and I were also road tripping. It might be.
It was August 20-something. I got here August 22nd because 22.
Oh.
So, but we were in the middle of, we were probably in the middle of the country right about now. I think we were in Texas.
Blaze and I were somewhere too. Look how time.
But wowza. 3 years ago, we weren't even friends. We weren't even in LA.
No.
And we literally, and we had, we.
Eva was just a twinkle in our eye.
Oh, and so was baby G.
Gio was literally a twinkle in my
Gio
eye.
Gio and Eva make Jiva, and Jiva was a twinkle. Two twinkles in our eyes.
Gio was me driving with Blaze and going, maybe I'll have a dog next year. And he was like, please no. Please don't. Don't do that. Please don't. No. And then I did it anyway.
Oh, baby. Good times. G. But so much has happened.
So much has happened.
Happy 3-year anniversary. And now we are. And now our job titles are producers?
I guess.
Podcast producers.
Is that what we say now? Eva, what do we say?
Eva, what do we say?
I think you say business
owners, right? Oh, God.
Company owners?
Oh, my dad would be so proud.
Truly, my mother thought this was never going to happen after I turned down the idea of lawyer and doctor. She was like, I guess you'll never own your own company. Well, look at me now.
Look at me now.
Mama, 26.
Suck it. Oh. We got our trademark application today, and it had like a gold seal on it. And we were just like, look at the gold
seal. We got multiple gold seals in the mail today.
So professional.
Anyway.
You know what else had a gold seal on it?
What?
The pink champagne I brought.
Eva's champagne that she brought had a gold seal.
This okay, guys, go listen back to our ZipRecruiter ad, and this is reason a million.
No, because they're gonna try to steal. They're gonna try to steal her.
They can't. They could not.
Shh, don't let them do that.
Okay, never mind.
We'll talk.
Never mind.
Listen, Eva sucks. Don't hire her.
Actually, like, we talk her up a lot when she's around, but we really don't like her. We really don't like her.
She doesn't bring you gold seal champagne anywhere. It's all a big lie.
And Gio doesn't bring you snuggles, so forget
no,
it.
No, oh God, no. Everyone's going to be taking from us. Oh, no.
Anyway, good way to end this. Not weird at all. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon at ATWWD Podcast. Please donate. Please, especially since now we're unemployed.
Lol.
No.
We're business owners, baby.
No, truly, because you guys donate, we can like afford planes to visit you and do live shows and all these great things now. So seriously, please help and donate. And it's doing much more than you think. And you
Eva's
can also
doing the hug thing emoji.
Eva's super excited about your donations.
Thank you.
You can also find our website, and that's why we drink.com. You can find our merch store, and that's why we drink.bigcartel.com. You can also mail us fun gifts,
goodies,
because we are doing monthly fan mail videos for you guys, and that address is 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 265, Los Angeles 90027.
Correct.
And please send us good things. We will open them on video. And then if you are a Patreon donation, I don't know.
If you are a donation.
If you are one donation.
Enter our bank account.
You can, you'll watch us open it up and get super excited. And we just really like presents.
And also, if you do send something and you're not on Patreon and you have sent us something, let us, like, email us and we'll send you the link to watch.
Also, please come to our Facebook Live next Sunday.
The 26th.
26th, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're involved with Patreon.
Yes. And we're going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all.
Oh, my.
Never mind.
And last thing, please, 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 if you are in the Southern California area, please come to our Hollywood Improv show September 23rd. It's a Sunday, but it's going to be worth it.
I think our VIP tickets are already selling out, so hurry up.
Truly, please. I'm somehow getting more comfortable on stage. And if you want to see me not looking like a medicated blackout
just
mess.
The fact that I just heard that is mind blowing. So, well, guys, get on
truly,
it.
Truly, I'm on the seesaw. I'm right in the middle. So,
okay,
if you
right,
want to see
it.
If you want to see a potential disaster.
You do.
September 23rd, do. Hollywood Improv.
You do.
That's it on my end.
That's it on my end, too, guys. Thank you so much for everything. We love you. And we'll be back next week.
And
that's
why
we
drink.
Beep.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.